all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, here we go. Hey there, Wisconsin. Welcome to Tuesday, not Monday. Tuesday, it is the 30th day of May, 2023. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it is another beautiful day up north. We have a lot to cover on the show this morning as we get back into the swing of things from a holiday weekend. Still to the point where you do things like, hey, did I check the temperature? No. I did not. There it is, 62 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. Hope you had a great holiday weekend as well. Coming up this morning, we'll talk to my colleague Christine Laurie from Up North News. She has divided the state up into four quadrants. And on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, she is running one story per day on each of the quadrants and giving each a bucket list of places, products, and events that you could stay busy with all summer long. And so you will also find Christina's stories in our daily newsletter. The Tuesday edition dropped about an hour ago, starting out with Northwest Wisconsin. And again, to subscribe to that newsletter, just go to upnorthnewswi.com and click on newsletter in the top banner. In our second hour, we'll be watching out for our waterways, because along with our roads and our skies, we move all kinds of products through our rivers and waterways and Great Lakes. But on the Mississippi, we can't move all that corn and cargo if the infrastructure is falling apart. So we'll talk about one big project there with our friend Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from up in the Merrill area. And in a somewhat related note, we will talk about how other waterways are endangered by a Friday U.S. Supreme Court ruling that essentially gives a green light to polluters. And so we will discuss that. We will get into as well a new news story from this morning that indicates, surprise, surprise, a lot of that inflation still going on out there might be about corporations just continuing to jack up prices, even though their supply chains have stabilized, that it might just be, you know, plain old price gouging. So we'll get into that as well. We've got some sports notes from the Brewers. The U.S. Senior Open has a nice Wisconsin connection to it. So plenty going on as we get this work week underway. And along the way, you can reach us with your questions at 844-967-2789 or email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Either way, Aaron Zommers is key to the success of getting your comments up on the radio. And he joins us now from Madison, which did not include a stop in Manitowoc this weekend, right? You were just kind of hung out in the capital city.
Yep. I decided that I did not feel like doing the notably extremely boring 2.5-hour drive to Manitowoc this weekend.
I've taken that drive a few times up 151, basically, East Washington Avenue becomes 151, and it's a nice layout. You just follow that diagonal pretty much most of the way up toward Fond du Lac and then the rest of the way toward Manitowoc. But no, it's not a scintillating drive visually.
Yeah, it's like you said.
Unless you like Culver's billboards and things like that.
You do see a couple of those, which is nice. Yeah. Not much else.
Mm-hmm. And you're heading back up this coming weekend anyway. So
yes.
being the good uncle that you are.
Yeah, my niece Gracie, who will be turning 5 in July, this weekend she has her first dance recital, so I'm excited to see that.
That is so nice for the 5-year-olds. Why they teach them twerking, I don't know. I hope that they have other dances that they're teaching them instead.
Well, I'm about to find out.
Please don't come back with some kind of a horrified, report from an uncle next Monday. We will, please, whatever you do. We have a weekend of sports where the Brewers nearly lost, were nearly swept by the San Francisco Giants over the weekend. They avoided that 4-game sweep with a 7-5 win on Sunday. Colin Ray went 6 innings on Sunday, giving up 4 runs, 5 hits, and 6 strikeouts. But it was a rough May for the Brewers. They went when runners were in scoring position, runners on second and third, or at least second base. Their batting average was 200 for the month of May. And in 14 of the 28 games, they scored two or fewer runs, half the games during the month. So let's hope June is a little bit better for the Brewers here, because after all, they are still your first place Milwaukee Brewers, which really tells you something about the caliber of the National League Central. Brewers are above 500, not a lot, but enough to be on top of the division. So they were traveling yesterday. They are now in Toronto. They'll take on the Blue Jays for the first part of the week. Then they head down to Cincinnati for a series against the Reds before coming home for next week. Also, the Brewers released Luke Voit. He was a bit of a fan favorite among spring training watchers, but the 32-year-old first baseman and DH wasn't doing a lot of the H-ing in the DH designated hitter. Couldn't replicate the hot Cactus League bat that he had once the regular season began. He was batting 221 with zero home runs and was designated for assignment. So, as the Brewers turn into the month of June, listeners from Civic Media can hear the Brewers throughout the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 and 1100 AM. And you can also catch the Brewers on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. That's at 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. We've got a couple of more sports notes to tell you about on the other side of the break. Then we're going to get into some of the details on the debt ceiling agreement. Yes, they reached an agreement over the weekend, the president and the speaker of the House, to avoid the U.S. defaulting and triggering a recession. And we'll go through the details and tell you if there are things that you'll notice any different than any other cycle. We'll be back. You're up north. Wynonna Judd among those with birthdays that we're going to make note of at about 6:50 this morning on this Tuesday morning, where it's 51 degrees on the big curve there as you move around Wittenberg, and 62 degrees in New Richmond and Amory. The Milwaukee Bucks introduced their new coach over the weekend, Adrian Griffin. He is about to turn 49 on the 4th of July. Griffin was in the NBA for about a decade. He went undrafted out of Seton Hall in 1996, got into the NBA in 1999. He played in an NBA Finals when he was with Dallas. He won a championship as an assistant coach in Toronto. And Griffin, according to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story, has been highly regarded by the head coaches he's worked under and the staff he's worked with and the players he's assisted. But this will be his first time, of course, as an NBA head coach, and the bar will be set high for him. After all, his predecessor, Mike Budenholzer, won 69% of his regular season games. He helped the Bucks to their first NBA title in 50 years. And so he's basically being given a great product. And the top goal is to get deeper into the postseason on all of this. Madison's Steve Stricker won the senior PGA Championship, which was played in Texas over the weekend. Stricker, who's now 56 years old, beat Patrick Harrington on the first hole of a playoff. And Stricker has now won the first two majors of the season, and he has six majors overall on the senior tour. Getting back to basketball, Aaron, and hockey. Over the weekend, we found out who's going to be in the NBA Finals and who's going to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. And it's going to be a weird pill to swallow if the city that dominates the two winter sports leagues turns out to be Miami. Because the Miami Heat are in the NBA Finals. They were an 8 seed. Remember, they toppled the Bucks in the first round.
Yeah, they got Coach Bud fired.
Exactly. And the Florida Panthers are in the Stanley Cup final, taking on, I believe, the Vegas Golden Knights. So when you think hockey, of course, you think Vegas and Miami, right? You know, so we could end up with both of the Miami teams being at the top of the winter sports of hockey and basketball. Look, if you're a Canadian, you know, who loves hockey, or some other retiree who loves basketball, I guess it's great news for you. But doesn't that just feel so off?
You know, this is the success that Florida's having that Governor Ron DeSantis wants to bring to the whole country.
Please don't give him any credit for that.
Sorry,
whatsoever.
Bad joke. It was a joke.
Yeah. We got it. But here's the thing. If either one of those teams wins a title and, you know, the governor makes some remarks, I'll be curious to see if members of those teams, because, you know, the athletes don't stray away, you know, stay away from politics the way that they used to. So, you know, who knows what will happen there. The other thing we'll be watching is, I believe this is the sixth time that there was the possibility where a city had their teams in both the hockey and basketball finals, but it has not happened yet where one city has won both of them. So again, if Miami were to do this, it would be the first time ever they win the NBA finals and the Stanley Cup. I specifically will not be rooting for that, just on principle. You know, it's one thing if it would have happened to the Boston Celtics or, you know, something like that. But, oh, by the way, speaking of Boston, the Heat not only eliminated the Bucks, but they also eliminated the Celtics in the playoffs, and the Florida Panthers eliminated the Boston Bruins, who had had the best regular season in NHL history. And Florida knocked them out in the first round. So Boston is especially feeling rather stung by Florida these days. That's got to hurt.
Absolutely.
Let's move toward some of the headlines, including this debt ceiling agreement that appears to have been reached between President Biden and Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. I'm not going to call it a nothing burger, but when you really look at it, it is not far off of what you could have predicted back in November when Republicans very narrowly won the House of Representatives. And I really emphasize the very narrowly, because if you were to take away gerrymandering and if you were to take away much of the major media falling for a GOP narrative about the inevitability of a Republican takeover, it was just as likely that Dems could have held the House with a narrow majority, but it is what it is. So let's get back to Republicans having won that narrow majority in the House. It was never going to be a governing majority, never. Even if Kevin McCarthy had a real desire to govern, to work with a Democratic president and a Democratic-led Senate to reach a decent compromise, his caucus is filled with enough far-right members who would have only punished him for having the audacity to sound diplomatic. You know, anyone in that position would have felt that the best path forward would be to sound essentially like a caricature of someone, you know, in a sitcom buying a car for the first time. You know how they get all psyched up and they're going to play the dealer and they're going to use all these emotional tricks to try to get a good deal. And it was that kind of cartoonish behavior from the very beginning that got us thinking these guys might actually shoot the hostage, being the U.S. economy. But in the end, the deal that resulted was probably not that far off of what would have happened through the regular budget process. In other words, let's say this debt ceiling was passed cleanly in January, as it should have been in the first place, or arguably the Democrats should have done it in December as lame ducks. Take the debt ceiling off the table. There still would have been very tough budget negotiations later this year. The government has to get all that negotiated. It's new fiscal year, you know, by October. And so if anything, quote unquote, good comes out of this, it's that we got it out of the way. It's just that we had to deal with the potential of not just a government shutdown, which is what would have happened in the fall, but an actual default on our debts. So let's take a look at that. Inside the deal, there is a two-year suspension of the debt limit. So that means they didn't move the number at all. There's no new number for the debt ceiling. They've simply said, look, whatever happens over the next 2 years that we negotiate, it will not trigger a default. Okay, fine. The bill cuts what is known as non-defense discretionary spending. And the cuts to non-defense discretionary spending, now that includes law enforcement and forest management and scientific research and more, according to this New York Times story. You know, it cuts all of that in the 2024 fiscal year, limits all discretionary spending to 1% growth in 2025. And that is essentially a cut because inflation's not going to be 1%. And so what little spending increase there is won't keep up with inflation. And so you will have to see a cut in services or positions or things like that. One of the next details, and this in my mind is one of the big ones. You will recall that part of the Biden agenda last year was an extra $80 billion to the Internal Revenue Service, specifically designed to catch wealthy tax cheats. Well, Republicans, of course, intentionally lied about it and said, well, this means 80,000 new auditors are coming for the middle class, when that was never part of the legislation at all. And Republicans successfully got the president to agree to cut $20 billion out of that $80 billion. Now, it's not as drastic a cut, actually, as it sounds. The IRS front-loaded a lot of the work that was done by the money that was authorized. You still have 60-plus billion that's going to go after tax cheats, especially at the high end of the revenue scale. But the thing is, when you cut that back, when you cut back on tax enforcement, you cut back the funds that are going to be raised to reduce the deficit. The Republicans were giving away the game by saying, stop going after people not paying their taxes. It tells you they're not serious about the deficit. The bill also imposes new work requirements on food stamps for food stamps on adults ages 50 to 54 who don't have children living at home. Now, under current law, those work requirements are on people ages 18 to 49. Now it'll be 18 to 54. But by the time you exempt veterans and the homeless and people who are children in foster care, the Times story estimates it'll leave roughly the same number of Americans eligible for nutrition assistance moving forward. So it's a victory for Republicans in appearances only, that they got these new work requirements that people can't just sit around on the couch and collect benefits when there's nothing that indicates that that happens on a mass basis already. But they can claim it, and the people who actually still need nutrition assistance are still going to get it. Of course, military spending will be going up. That's one of the things that was saved from cuts. It'll increase to $886 billion next year, which is pretty much in line with what the president requested in his budget proposal. Spending on veterans' health care, including newly approved measures to assist veterans exposed to toxic burn pits, as assisted by Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, will also continue to be funded at the levels in the president's proposed budget. Then there's this thing called permitting reform, which just means we're going to fast track, you know, drill, baby, drill, and not just wells, but pipelines. And Joe Manchin, who the Times laughably refers to as a Democratic centrist, I had to pause to let y'all laugh there. Joe Manchin gets his 300-mile natural gas pipeline from West Virginia to Virginia, crossing nearly 1,000 streams and wetlands along the way as that permitting process is streamlined. The bill will claw back about $30 billion in unspent money from a previous COVID relief bill. Again, something that was a top Republican priority in negotiations. So again, what are they taking back? They're taking back the economic stimulus, the things that help regular families. Now, again, that's not the worst thing that could have happened given the strong economy, an economy that was strong in its recovery thanks to the stimulus up to this point. Republicans had initially called for 10 years of spending caps. This legislation includes just 2 years of caps and then switches to targets, which are basically suggestions. What didn't both sides get? Republicans wanted deeper spending cuts, stricter work requirements. They wanted the repeal of hundreds of billions of dollars of tax incentives to help the economy move to lower emission energy sources and fight climate change. Republicans did not get any of that. President Biden did not get the big tax hike on corporations and high earners. And Republicans won't let Biden reduce Medicare spending that is currently going to prescription drug companies. So the upshot is that Republicans were always going to show us their values about protecting the wealthy, protecting corporations, protecting tax cheats, repeal some economic stimulus. That was always going to happen once Republicans won the House. The GOP just picked an overly dramatic way for it to happen, threatening a market crash, a recession, and a default. Thankfully, none of those things happen if this deal holds and passes. Christina Lurie is next with the Uplift on a Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio. We'll be back. Welcome back. Welcome back to a shortened work week. Welcome back to The Uplift, where we visit with Christina Lurie, my colleague at Up North News, who puts together our newsletter and specializes in some of the uplifting stories that we mix in along with some of the more serious stories of the day. And Christina, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Great to be here.
Yeah. And so we thought that we would start a bucket list for Wisconsin. And look, you could make a good living out of just making Wisconsin bucket lists, and it would be a lot of fun to do. So here's our effort at it that you have been working on so hard. And when one thinks about how you possibly divvy up a state, I think you just go with a four corners strategy, right?
Yes, we divided Wisconsin into four regions. We thought since Memorial Day is kind of the unofficial start to summer, we would create a fun list. It would be a good time since you might have more time if you have your kids at home or if you use a little bit of your PTO in the summer to check out some parts of the state that you might often overlook. So starting in the northwestern region, that's by you, Pat, you're included in this. In Chippewa Falls, we have tour the Line and Kugel's Brewing Company factory. Now, a lot of these, like, obviously everyone in that area knows of Line and Kugel's. You know that the headquarters are there. You know they offer factory tours. But have you really ever been one? I know coming from the Chicago area, we would always have a couple days every summer where my family would just go downtown for a staycation and, you know, pretend like we're tourists. So have you ever been on an official tour there, Pat?
Oh, yes. And then once you do that, you almost become like an unofficial tour guide because, you know, you never do it just once. There's somebody else that comes to town and you want them to see it and somebody else that comes to town. And so we've done it numerous times, but the Line and Kugel Brewery has done such a great job there creating a new Liney Lodge with a little picnic area right along Duncan Creek that sometimes we'll go there just to visit the lodge. And, you know, sometimes they'll bring in food trucks. There might be somebody playing live music. So the brewery tour is an absolute bucket list idea. But even if you didn't see the tour, the lodge alone would be, you know, bucket list worthy, shall we say, when you come here to beautiful Chippewa Falls, as I like to call it.
And even if you've been on one of the tours before, you've probably been on the Legacy one. That's the longest running tour. But they also offer some shorter ones. They offer just a quick behind the scenes tour. They also offer a more individualized tour with a master brewer. So if you have a lot of beer knowledge and you've already been on the other tours, that's a cool one to check out. And you get to sample more than 15 different beers on that tour.
Oh, that's great. And the other thing they do is they embrace their history so well, both in the lodge and in the brewery. I mean, you truly get a sense for all the folks that have been there, you know, over the past 130 plus years. And it really comes off as just a really nice historic hometown brewer.
Yeah, and I just want to run through a quick other sampling of what's on our Northwest Wisconsin list. We have Dine at the Watershed Cafe in Osceola, and check out the Wisconsin Concrete Park in Phillips. That's definitely a tourist attraction that is worth the local visit if you're ever in that neck of the woods. What? We also have five more things on our list. So head to upnorthnewswi.com if you want the full list.
And whether it's concrete or I've said many a time, we love our fiberglass animals and mascots in Wisconsin. The concrete park is definitely in that same kind of quirky area. You want to move to Northeast next?
Yes, we'll go clockwise around the state. Up in Northeast Wisconsin, obviously that's best known for Door County area. That's a big popular destination in the summer. Fish Creek Scenic Boat Tour is a great trip. They run daily May through October. The first cruise leaves at 11 a.m. every day. And that's another one of the offerings that has a variety of different options. So you can go during the day for that more scenic tour, or you can go on a sunset cruise. They also have live music cruises. Some offer meals. It's just a great way to experience the beauty of being out on Lake Michigan. Some other options, that area is known for its supper clubs too. Maiden Lake Supper Club is a great, it's really a gem in Mountain, Wisconsin. You'll just want to check the times before you go because it has some weird hours. Right now it's only open Fridays and Saturdays from 4 to 8 p.m. So especially if you're making a drive, there's nothing worse than being hungry and then rolling up and finding out they're closed.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that. No.
Yeah. And then obviously we have some, you know, some of the obvious selections like Visit Lambeau. But once you're there, if you check out our list, we have some things that you might never have seen at Lambeau before. You can get some insider tours. And a lot of people don't realize they offer stadium tours year round. So not just in Packer season, and you actually get a lot more access in the office.
And the complex includes so many meeting rooms. It's almost like a little conference center that's there with some of the meeting rooms, you know, overlooking Lambeau Field. And so I have been to meetings there, which was really quite a surprise at first to be able to see, you know, inside the bowl of the stadium at the time. And then, of course, there's the whole Titletown complex, which I haven't seen yet. And a whole lot of folks are now going to see up close and personal now that Lambeau Field has been awarded the 2025 NFL draft. So there will be many bucket list visitors coming to Northeast Wisconsin over the next year and a half here.
I was just going to say that it'd be a good time to get in now because, you know, 2025 will be a lot busier.
Oh, yes.
Now, should we move to southeastern Wisconsin?
Yes.
So obviously that's the Milwaukee, Racine, Waukesha area. That statistical area, just fun fact, is the 33rd largest community in the country. So there's a whole lot of stuff to do there.
Okay.
But a lot of people sleep on the fact that there's a lot of good nature. So you can go to the Horicon Marsh. Mm-hmm. It's a great area for seeing ducks, especially this time of year. Also, the Ice Age Trail. This goes through most of the parts of Wisconsin, but specifically the Kettle Moran State Forest, east of Campbellsport. Is that how you say that? It's a very wordy.
It's Campbellsport. Yeah. It all kind of falls out again, like Fond du Lac or all these other places. But yeah, Campbellsport, there, you know, the Kettle Moraine Trail. You have these all across where the glaciers came down. They didn't cover all of Wisconsin, and the Ice Age Trail is kind of like the boundary of how far the glaciers got before they started to recede. And that whole area there, and then you get into Holy Hill and places like that. I mean, just stunning, especially if you can get them at fall colors. But, you know, really, seriously, anytime there's some amazing, nature opportunities there.
Oh, well, and what's especially great about that trail is that they have mapped hikes that range from 1 mile to 13 miles. So there's really something for everyone. And if you're like me and you all often feel like you want to quit halfway through, some of those mapped routes are great because if you commit to the, like a 10 mile one, say, and you're 5 miles out, you have to finish it to get back to your car. So well, that's great if you need a little extra motivation.
Right.
And then when you're done, you can head down to the Harley-Davidson Museum. That's, again, something that seems touristy on its face, but has a lot of hidden nooks in it that are really neat to check out. And then finally, if you've spent the day hiking, head to Mater's. That's just a Wisconsin institution. We have a whole list of some of the most famous people that have dined there. I mean, it's crazy. I think 8 different presidents have been there, lots of actors, and both, you know, past and present. It's been around for more than 100 years. Have you been there?
Yes. Here's my Mater story. During the 4 years that we lived in Milwaukee, while my wife attended the Medical College of Wisconsin and both of our daughters were born during medical school, and I worked for the local billboard company there as their traffic director. So I'd pick out, you know, what billboards went to which customers, and national clients would come to town and check out their billboards and their locations, whether they like them or not. So I would pick up these folks at the airport in a company car. I'd drive them all over town to see all of their billboards. And invariably, most of them wanted to stop at Mater's. They were in Milwaukee. They wanted authentic, you know, German dining. They wanted the full experience. And, you know, nobody left Mater's unhappy.
Is it as good as people hype it up to be? Because again, making that parallel to what I know in Chicago, everyone always goes hard for Giordano's deep dish pizza. And everyone who lives there just wants to yell at them and go, that is the crappiest of the deep dish varieties. Go anywhere else. Go to Lou Malnati's, go to Pequod's, go to Gino's East, literally anything else.
Is you know that, what that
live up you know, to the hype?
You know what that reminds me of? In our trip to Australia many years ago now, though. But of course, every tourist wants Foster's, you know, because of all the commercials. It's Australia and Fabea. And people in Australia would be like, we never touch that stuff. It's awful. But, you know, they ran the commercials. And so every tourist wanted that. No, Mater's is definitely an exception to that. Now, again, we're going back to my mid-20s, you know, half a lifetime ago. But in that case, folks really did enjoy dining there. Although, again, Milwaukee's filled with so many great restaurants. You know, if you're doing Saz's for barbecue and everything else, you can make a bucket list alone on, you know, restaurants, pubs, breweries, sports, nature, just in that Southeast quadrant. But we have one more corner of Wisconsin to get to.
Yeah. Well, so this is a little bit controversial. I chose to split up Madison and Milwaukee into different corners. Madison is very centrally located, but mm-hmm. we included it in the southwestern part.
That's because, fair.
You know, there was just so much going on in the Milwaukee area. But mm-hmm. sticking on the German food front, this actually didn't make our list, but just the mention of Mater's. If you're in Madison, this is a bonus fun fact for your listeners. Check out this new German-style beer hall that opened on East Washington, just about four blocks from the Capitol. It's called Prost, and it's in an old restored church. So it's a really neat setting, and it's not on any list that you'll see right now. I mean, it just opened less than a year ago. So I think it actually just opened this winter. So I don't even think we've experienced it for a full summer yet. But that's a great hidden gem here. But also on the list of things to do in southwestern Wisconsin, Gaze Mills in Crawford County has wonderful apple orchards. And it's great to visit them any time of year, super picturesque, but obviously in, you know, the August to October prime season to visit there. Also, travel the Great River Road. That's a really fun road trip. It's very scenic. It's kind of Wisconsin's version of driving along the Pacific Coast Highway in California. You can take it Highway 35 from Prairie du Chien to Pepin and make fun stops along the way. You can stop at the birthplace of Laura Ingalls Wilder, or you can order some of the best scones that you've ever had at Little Lark Bakery in historic Stockholm. You really can't go wrong wherever you stop.
I am glad you mentioned that. I was going to hold you to it if you hadn't. That, and we've done multiple stories over at upnorthnewswi.com about planning. You know, you could plan a day trip or a weekend trip along the Great River Road. Yeah, just absolutely one that folks probably don't appreciate who haven't been on there yet. Take it, you'll get hooked.
And then just since we started with a tour of a brewery, let's end in New Glarus with another one. Enjoy a Spotted Cow at the home of where they're made. That's just Wisconsin's signature drink. I mean, we could really, I think we could have a whole debate, Leinenkugel's or Spotted Cow, which would win.
Oh my gosh.
That might be a little too controversial for this kind of podcast.
Well, right. It's like picking a, you know, a favorite child, because obviously you'll have everybody from, you know, big old Miller to little Potosi to Point to, you know, Title Town, you name it. And that, again, it's an embarrassment of riches if you enjoy beer and enjoy it responsibly. But again, Spotted Cow has really built up a reputation here. I have passed by it, but haven't stopped in. And so I'm glad that's on the list. That's another place that would be great to see.
If you're going to stop in, go at 1 p.m. on Fridays for the Hard Hat Tour. It's only offered once a week, and it's a 3-hour exploration that takes you behind the scenes of both the original brewery and the current expanded one. And then they offer a beer and cheese pairing afterwards. So that's really the best hidden gem there. And it's just $30.
All right, so all of this and much more you can find in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Comes out every morning, every weekday morning around 5 a.m. or so. And then, of course, stories on the website, stories on social media. And you can send Christina your story ideas or the favorite beers that we overlooked. Christina Lorey, that's all one word, L-O-R-E-Y, at upnorthnewswi.com. Christina, thanks very much. Have a great start to the week.
You too. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
And if you missed it last week, Christina talked about it being National Wine Day and had an article still on the website, your 2023 guide to Wisconsin wineries. So look for that and so much more at upnorthnewswi.com. We will pause for a moment here, then have today's history lesson and music break up next. You're up north. I'm not going to lie to you. It would be entirely possible to have a history and music segment every day that was nothing but Beatles tunes. Obviously, there's, they've built entire channels around the Beatles, and there was something that happened pretty much every day in the life of the most, noteworthy band in, world history. We don't list a lot of them because of that reason. There's plenty of other things to talk about most days. Today, not quite so many. But there were plenty of Beatles moments, so we're going to share three of them here before we get to their birthdays and anniversaries. So that's Love Me Do, typical Lennon-McCartney song, written as teenagers, that became the number one hit on May 30th, 1964. Now, to give a feel for how the Beatles changed over just a few years through, fame and fortune and, creative tension, shall we say, just fast forward 4 years to May 30th of 1968, where they were fresh off a retreat to India, and the Beatles began recording the White Album, or what would be known as the White Album, at Abbey Road Studios in London. And the very first song they work on is one that you really would not have expected in 1964, but this was the number one song. This was the song they recorded this day in 1968. And there was a lot of, at this point, the band was disagreeing with itself back and forth as far as whether the song should sound like this. There was so much overdubbing, so much crackling that people actually returned to the records, to the record store at first, thinking that it must have been a mistake in printing the records, but it wasn't. The song itself went through so many iterations. There was a part that became known as Revolution Number 9 because it was just a whole bunch of audio clips. And there was a much slower version of this previously. Here, contrast what you're hearing now with take 18 of when they were trying to record Revolution. A little difference there, in the songs. Aaron, that's what we get. One part of the benefit now is it used to be that, nobody pulled back the curtain. You only got that final product. And now you're much more likely to hear some of these alternative tracks, rehearsal tracks, and things like that as a song is created.
Yeah, definitely. Which is a blessing and a curse. Mostly a blessing. But sometimes it can just be a lot if people release like every version of a track. But with stuff like this, that's just a completely different song. Also, this version of it is 10 minutes.
that might be why this version didn't get on the radio.
I think
so. Quite possibly. But yeah, much like any other storytelling, if you release parts of it in a way that give you a nice narrative arc, then you really get to see the creative juices as they came together to create something. And then it was 5 years after that, we're now going ahead to 1973. The Beatles have broken up. All four of the Beatles are topping the charts as individuals in various ways. And on this day in 73, George Harrison released his second post-Beatles album, Living in the Material World. It goes to number one with this single. And you've got a side of George Harrison that you would continue to see for the rest of his life and see where he wanted to put his emphasis on music making. Okay, as we said quite frequently, there are so many Beatles notes on any particular day, and we don't get to all of them, but there were three I thought I would share, because really from a music history standpoint, the only other noteworthy thing I pulled out that would go for May 30th was on this day in 2000, when Eminem's second major album, the Marshall Mathers LP, became the fastest selling rap album ever, selling 1.75 million copies in its debut week, including singles like The Real Slim Shady.
I'm Slim Shady, yes, I'm the real Shady. All you other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
And I always worry that at this point some of you are thinking, oh, they're going to put a bad word out there. But let me tell you something. Aaron Zomers is a wizard on the Google machine and will always find the clean version of music that we find. Oh, wait, I heard a bunch of beeps in there. Okay, never mind.
It's beeped out, though.
Yes, true. What, you ever wonder why they make the decision that, you know, we're going to beep these words as opposed to other records? They like just put a garble, they either find an alternative word, you know, like Forget You from CeeLo Green,
right? Or sometimes they'll like do like a little record scratch.
Yeah, a little record scratcher. They'll make the music go backwards, you know, in there, right? And somehow gobble it up,
or even just silence.
And I've always wondered, from somebody who's, you know, been involved in radio since the early 80s here, at what point you do or don't get in trouble if a non-English word is in something and it's a bad word?
That is a good question, and I don't know.
Why we don't know? Because none of us want to push the envelope and discover unemployment.
Yeah, that would be it.
Somewhere out there is probably that. All right, a few other history notes here. Topper Heaton? Drummer for The Clash?
Topper Head-On. I think it is just Head-On.
Okay, Topper Head-On.
It's not his real name.
For The Clash is 68 years old today. We've played songs from Wynonna Judd, who was born in Ashland, Kentucky 59 years ago today. Her birth name was Christina Claire Simonella. Dolly Parton got married this day in 1966, so happy 57th anniversary to Dolly Parton. And Carl Thomas Dean, who was then the owner of a Nashville asphalt road paving business. And to this day, I'm pretty sure I've never seen a photo of him or them. I don't know if you have, Aaron, but somewhere there is a Mr. Dolly Parton. And some people actually, when they say they're going to stay behind the scenes, they stay that way.
Yeah, sometimes they do.
All right. We had Memorial Day yesterday. Its anniversary was Decoration Day. And that was from 1868. Decoration Day was observed officially in the United States for the first time after a proclamation by John Logan, who was head of the Veterans Group Grand Army of the Republic. This is a birthday for Idina Menzel, the American singer, songwriter, and actress, who is 52 years old today. The first Indy 500 was run on this day in 1911. The average speed of the winning car of that first Indy 500, 74 miles an hour, just blistering down the track. And on this day in 1922, the Lincoln Memorial was dedicated in Washington, D.C. And a belated happy birthday to you, Wisconsin, 175 years old. It's birthday yesterday. Much more in our next hour. Stick around for that. You're up north.